it really boiled down to like, this should be my decision. This should not be my employer's decision. In news, I was greatly outnumbered. I could definitely be wrong, but as far as I know, I am the only TV reporter in LA, San Diego, Orange County, San Francisco that said no to this. Essentially every station, about 90% in the country, have vaccine mandates.
Hey everybody, welcome to Conversations That Matter. I'm your host, Alex Newman. Very special guest with us today, a woman who stood up for her principles and lost her job at a corporate media outlet in California. Her name is Allison Royal, and she's got a fascinating story. Allison, thank you for joining us. Tell us a little bit about what happened. I guess they tried to get you to take this injection and you didn't want to. Walk us through, you know, when the mandate came in, what did they say to you, and why did you choose not to go along with this?
Well, I think a lot of people can relate to this. Initially, my employer all news stations were pushing the vaccine off. If you look at the writing on the wall, but initially my employer said, you know, we can't even ask our employees what their vaccination status is. Managers are not allowed to ask people. So, you know, to each their own. And then it went to, okay, you have to tell us whether or not you're vaccinated, but you just have to fill out a form and that's it. And for the longest time, I was the, you know, probably the conspiracy theorist, but I was the person telling my friends and family, oh, you know, like they're going to require this. Like it's a more of a question of when rather than if. Like you could see the end of the tunnel, you could tell that it was coming, right? And in September, my company, sure enough, announced that it was going to require everyone to be vaccinated. It didn't impact pretty much most people at my station and for the corporation that I worked for, because pretty much every other anchor, reporter, meteorologist, you know, posted on Instagram when they got all of their shots, whereas only a couple people who were vaccinated actually opted to not put it on social media. So I knew most people were vaccinated. The anchors were talking about it, you know, during small talk when they were tossing the weather, during our reports and during our newscasts. So I knew most people were vaccinated. I kept the fact that I wasn't vaccinated mostly to myself because I thought it was no one's business. But it turns out it was, in fact, my employer's business. So after months of bringing up ethical concerns and management starting to tailor their approach to me when they found that I wasn't vaccinated, I just said, all right, well, I'm not comfortable getting this. And they said, well, you need to be vaccinated by mid-November. And I said, well, I guess that's going to be my last day. But news corporations, which are also owned by pharmaceutical companies, which is public knowledge, I don't think a lot of people know that. I wish more people knew that, because I think that they could make more informed decisions if they did know that. Of course, they're going to be pushing this. Of course, they're going to be pushing this. So every day at work, it was, I would turn in my scripts that I tried to give journalistic integrity to, and someone would change it from if you get vaccinated to when you get vaccinated, instead of, you know, if you have questions about this, like consult your doctor, just get this, you know. it's a ludicrous time that we are living in.
It really is, Allison. What a story. And I think similar stories took place all across America, not just in newsrooms and media organizations, but companies all across the country. But you're right. Nobody can turn on the TV today and turn to a news station and not see endless ads for pharmaceutical gimmicks. You know, take this pill if you have a restless leg and might cause diarrhea, death, heart attack. You know what? It's just the news is literally brought to you by Big Pharma. Allison, why did you resist? I mean, you said almost all the people you were working with went along with it. And I think, you know, depending on whose numbers you believe, at least 60% of Americans went and got at least one of these. Why did you hold out? Did you have safety concerns, ethical concerns, religious objections? What was your reasoning?
All of the above. So many different concerns. I think I was really passionate about being a journalist. I knew I wanted to be one, and I knew I wanted to be a journalist in California, where I'm from the time I was 17 years old. But I don't think it was until COVID that I realized how much of the information that we have is manipulated and manufactured. I think this has been going on since the 60s in retrospect, but I think I had this happy-go-lucky, super excited attitude, so I didn't see it. It wasn't until COVID came that I started to really be confronted with things and have to question things in our everyday lives. Again, this has been going on long before you or I were around, but this was for me my moment of awakening, so to speak. But I had a ton of concerns. I believe that this pandemic was definitely planned. We have evidence to believe that. Everything that I've predicted came true like clockwork. For example, I said they're going to have a vaccine, they're going to mandate it for the military. You know, a couple of people in my family, like, you know, thought, oh, that's funny, ha ha. Then it happened. But I had several concerns. I felt like it was a solution looking for a problem. I'm going to be real. I haven't gotten COVID yet. My triple vaccinated coworkers, they have gotten COVID. They post on Instagram asking for thoughts and prayers. Most of them are very nice people. I'm not saying that to taunt them, but I do think it's ironic that I don't have COVID. I'm not sick and I can't get anybody sick yet. I can't have my job, but they can be triple vaccinated and have COVID and be contagious and they can keep their jobs. We have seen time and time again, this is not about health. This is not about safety. This is about money. Pretty much everything is about money. And I saw the financial incentives that go into news stations. I saw the partnerships at my station and my company and every news company makes with pharmaceutical companies and vaccination campaigns with health departments that are completely controlled. I had fertility concerns. You can say that's a conspiracy theory. You know, we've had reporters, you know, fact check and hoax, you know, break that hoax. But the day that my company announced this vaccine mandate, the same exact day we ran a 30-second VO about a study that was being funded to look into why so many women my age were losing their periods after getting the vaccine. Now, most of my coworkers were past the stage in life where that would be a concern for them, but I hope to have a family someday, despite the fact that there's a lot of media campaigns, I think, to discourage people from like having a family right now. But I would like that opportunity one day. And other people at my station have already had their kids. Some of them had grandkids, so that's not a concern for them. But for me, it really boiled down to like, this should be my decision. This should not be my employer's decision. In news, I was greatly outnumbered. I could definitely be wrong. But as far as I know, I am the only TV reporter in LA, San Diego, Orange County, San Francisco that said no to this. Essentially every station, about 90% in the country, have vaccine mandates that own even the smallest TV stations. If you're watching this and you're in small town Missouri, Gray probably owns that station and has a giant vaccine mandate. And so does Scripps, Tegna, most O&Os. So that means wherever you are in the country, I feel like I'm going on a tangent, but wherever you are in the country, the reporter you're watching is vaccinated. The management that made them get vaccinated is vaccinated. That photographer, that producer, the person who works the assignment desk and picked what's going to be covered that day, they're vaccinated. Anybody who isn't vaccinated's perspective is being censored. And not in the name of like, oh, these people are crazy. Like, we just have fair questions like any person is. And the whole point of being a journalist is to question things, but you can't do that anymore. So
you're thinking of the old journalism, Allison. Now the thing of journalism is no questions, right?
No, it's riddled with ironies. I could talk for days and I won't, but the amount of ironies in the industry right now, it's almost laughable, but not a lot of people are willing to confront the fact that how uncomfortable that is and that they've been consuming things that may not be the best for them.
What a fascinating story, Allison. I'm so glad we brought you on the program. It's so interesting to hear from the perspective of an insider. I want to switch gears a little bit from the vaccine mandate, but before we do, I want to point out that, you know, we saw the same exact thing. I mean, we were bringing on world-renowned doctors, some of the leading experts in their field, people with international reputations, more scientific publications than anybody else in their field. And yet we were being censored. And we had these clowns, you know, working in a big tech office in California, fact-checking, you know, world-renowned doctors and scientists and medical experts. It was so bizarre. You would almost think it was like a comedy show, except The implications were so real. I want to ask you about, you know, what it's like to work for one of these news outlets. You know, when I was in journalism school, I did a little bit of work for the corporate media. I did some articles for a newspaper owned by the New York Times, and I very quickly realized that was not going to work. But, you know, I see these video clips now where you've got like Fox affiliate, CBS affiliate, NBC affiliate, and the reporters on the screen are all reading the exact same script.
The sharing of biased and false news has become all too common on social media. More alarming, some media outlets publish these same fake stories without checking facts first.
The sharing of biased and false news
has become all too common on social media.
More alarming, some media outlets publish these same fake stories without checking facts first.
Unfortunately, some members of the media use their platforms to push their own personal bias and agenda to control exactly what people think, and this is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
You know, I think there's an impression out there in the public that these are journalists that are actually doing reporting, they're actually developing their own stories, and yet there's so many of these clips where journalists from across the country are parroting the same thing. Did you ever see anything like that? Were you ever, or were the people in your newsroom ever just handed a script and told to just, here, read this in front of the camera?
Well, I can explain that actually. Those are called must runs. And so, for example, most people watching at home, even if you're watching your little mom and pop TV station, it is likely owned by a corporation. And there are a very small handful that have this monopoly and they own most stations. So like take Sinclair, for example. I've never worked for Sinclair. Don't send me a letter, Sinclair. I'm not going to take it. I've never worked there, but they are known. This is documented. They have something called must run. So that means at the top at corporate, they will send out a story to all of their affiliates across the country, whether they're CBS, NBC, you name it. They're called must runs. And it's the exact same story. It's something that's generic enough that it could be relatable to any market. And it comes, the package is already done and it has the script for the anchors to read. And those producers must run them in one of their newscasts. So whether it's a story about the vaccine or a story about really anything, and they're required to run it. Now, some producers will actually protest those and run them on, you know, the 4 a.m. news where there aren't that many viewers because they don't want to be dictated what they have to put in their newscast. I think it's sanctioned propaganda when you give it as an option, like, hey, we have this national piece, you can run it if you want. But when they have these must runs, a lot of news corporations have those. Now, I worked for a company called Tegna. I have no idea if they do those. That would be a question for a producer. So I have no knowledge on that, but there is definitely this crunch of news having to be so 24/7 and you have such little time and resources that there are definitely positions where you feel like you can't truly dig into something and you're just given a press release. You're supposed to kind of cookie cutter it, go on live TV 15 minutes later and do the best you can with it. But it takes 10 days to even get a response for a public records request. I can't do a deep dive that I'm assigned at 10 a.m. and it has to be live at 4 p.m. It's just not possible.
Yeah. Fascinating, Allison. What an interesting story. Before we let you go, I want to ask about what you're doing now. I understand you've started up your new thing. You've got a channel on Rumble. Tell us about that. What have you been doing? Where do you hope to go with it? And what's the best way for people to find it?
Thank you. Well, I decided that because really all these news stations are the same. That's one thing I want people to know. People think, oh, you know, CNN or MSNBC is the left leaning and you know, Fox is the right leaning, like that is all BS. Like these are all owned by the same handful of people. They are all financially controlled by the same people. BlackRock and Vanguard own all of these companies. So just think of it as one giant company. It's an illusion to keep you mad and divided and mad at your neighbors and mad at your family. So like, don't not invite your uncle to Thanksgiving just because you voted for something different. This is a very well-funded effort to distract people. So I knew the only way that I could go about doing this was to be an independent journalist, which had been a dream for a long time. I just didn't really know how to go about doing it. So after I was terminated, I guess is the word. I knew what my last day was going to be, but I was technically terminated. I decided I wanted to be an independent journalist. So I started a Rumble channel. If you search Allison Royal New School News, it's there. Or my Twitter handle is Allison Royal TV. I'm Allison Royal on Getter. I just kind of take what I can get. There's also a famous Allison Royal who's a professional women's wrestler. So don't get me confused with her. But I've done some really wonderful stories. I don't have the budget that I had when I worked in TV and had thousands of dollars worth of equipment, but you know, that'll come later. I've done some interesting stories about, you know, in Northern California, children in foster care can't be adopted until their adoptive parents agree to get them vaccinated. I've done stories, and it's not just all COVID stuff because there is more to life than COVID, contrary to what some people believe. I've done stories that have to do with other things in COVID, but I've interviewed Dr. Malone, Dr. Mary Bowden, really fascinating people whose perspectives usually are skimmed over in corporate news. I could go on. I mean, I just did this other story about how There are these textbooks that doctors and nurse practitioners use all over California that, I don't know if I can say this, but it teaches kids as young as 11 years old to masturbate using food. Like, crazy stuff is going on that parents should be cognizant of. And I am an alternative for people who are frustrated with their lack of answers that they get from corporate news.
Fascinating and absolutely wonderful, Allison. So do you focus primarily on California stuff, or you're doing more national interest things now too?
Oh, international, like wherever the story is. I mean, if I can afford to go there, I'll go there. Obviously, like, a challenging financial situation, I do have a give, send, go for people who like feel compelled to give, but trust me, like, I totally understand if people are not in the financial position to support this kind of stuff right now, because I won't be taking any more money from corporations, big pharma, politicians, any of that stuff. But wherever the story is, I want to go there. If there's a story in Texas, I can Zoom with someone in Texas. I can file a public records request in Texas. News, as much as I love local news, things are becoming increasingly global. So we need to focus on that.
Yeah. Awesome, Allison. One more time, give us the name of your Rumble channel so people can find it.
So it's New School News, because the old school news doesn't work for me anymore. So New School News with Allison Royal. My Twitter handle is Allison Royal TV. That's Allison with two L's, and then Allison Royal on Getter. Allison Royal TV on Twitter is kind of easy because it has my Rumble linked in there. So you can just go in and click on it. So Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Allison. We really appreciate you coming on. Thank you for your courage. Thank you for standing up for what you felt was right. It's unfortunately so rare today, not just in the media world, but in all the world. So we really appreciate it, Allison. Thank you so much for coming on. Hopefully we'll get you back very soon. Keep up the great work, and thanks again.
Thank you.
All right, folks, that was Allison Royal, journalist extraordinaire. Go follow her on Rumble, follow her on Twitter. I mean, we need real journalists in the world today so desperately. So you've got us here at The New American, but you know, there's not a whole lot of us. So support journalists when you find them. Thanks for tuning in. Again, I'm Alex Newman. This is Conversations That Matter for The New American Magazine. Until next time, God bless you all.